Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 239, part 2, the conclusion to What Peace? Today is Sunday, March 25th, 2012.
So they can get into their particular brand of doctrine and they can argue about, see where it says this in here? See here? Now look at this. And they go on and on and on about baptisms, and they go on and on and on about sanctification and glorification and all that. And the Bible comes down, bottom line, salvation is of the Lord. You haven't got nothing to do with it. God's going to save who he's going to save. That's the way it is. Well, did you think you were a judge? The Bible says, judge ye not. Would you like to be a judge? Would you like to go into heaven with your gavel and your cloaks on? Rise. Judge so-and-so is here. Is that what you want? Do you want to be a type of God? Well, that's the judge. God is the only judge. Oh, if we could only get that down. Or maybe they study it for the lifting up of self. Now, I got into that. I got into that, and I had all the scriptures, and I would go over and over and over and over, and then someone would just give a beautiful scripture, and I'd counteract it. Yes, but it says in Matthew, and you know, just to show how much I knew the Word of God. That was when I was first saved. Did it do me any good? No, I was always looking for an argument. See, you can always wrestle the scriptures to your own destruction. I don't even get into that anymore. Even evil questions. Someone says, have you read in Isaiah so-and-so? And what do you think that means? I don't even get into that. I said, well, read it for yourself. Read it in love. Read it in retrospect of yourself. And then you'll get the true meaning of it for you. It'll always come out the same way for everybody if you're reading it in love. I think a lot of time it's to manipulate people and skillfully wrestle or manipulate, let's say, the Word. How many know you can manipulate the Word? God wants us rich and prosperous. Is there any reason? They told me when I came down, they says, Pastor Paul, I hate to tell you this, but you're not the man to go to the north side. No, we need prosperity teachers down there so people will just know that they don't have to live like that. And they don't have to live in poverty and so on. And, you know, that they can just go out there and they can claim a job. How can you claim a job in the bank when you haven't even got a fourth grade education? And nobody cares whether you have one or not. But you're not the person. They should send someone down there that knows how to claim and walk around Jericho until the walls of oppression fall down and set the captives free. The Lord spoke to me to give that to you. Well, he says, would you mind pulling these knives out of my back so I can get on with my day? Really, they're very uncomfortable. And I have to go on with my day. See, folks, if you don't have a sense of humor with all of the spiritual nuts that are running around, I mean, they would just totally wipe you out. If I fell into fear every time someone prophesied doom over me, you know, fall on the floor and die. No, you know, test those spirits. If it isn't the building up and the clearing up and the cheering up, there's something wrong with it. See, it's more than to just understand the Word, because then the cold, well, let's say cold light of intellect, it's nothing compared to the warm light of love. There's people that know how to take care of children. They know exactly, and they got books from Dr. Spook on exactly how to do it. And they got it all down there. Mm-hmm. But there's no love to it. You can take someone that's not educated, that loves children, and really loves them, that can take such good care and bring them up so beautifully. And you can take someone that's fresh out of, now I'm not knocking college, but sometimes some of the teachings there are kind of weird, and they get into this thing, you know, and they're college trained, and they know exactly what to do. according to so-and-so, and according, and they never do anything according to God or according to love. They do it according to some person. They've never learned from their own parents. And there's always something to learn from your own parents. Things to do and things not to do. Say amen, somebody. And so they come with this cold intellect. And I've seen them in stores. And the kid rakes all the perfume off of the table, goes over and squeezes a baby Ruth right in the middle. You know what I mean? Looks at the mother, opens up a package of cookies. Kid went by the other day. He was in this cart when I go out shopping. This kid was in a cart, and they had all these lettuces there. He looks around a little bit, you know. He shouldn't have been in the cart anyway. Thing was ready to tip over. I don't know how old he was, 14, 15 maybe, I don't know. I'm exaggerating, of course, but that's how I get your attention. Now you're all thinking of this kid with his legs hanging out, dragging on the floor. Well, now you got the picture. He was old enough to know better. That's the thing. So anyway, he rakes his arm across all these lettuces. I don't know why they put them that way anyway. They're ready to talk. You take one lettuce out, stand back, or tomatoes. Huh? So anyway, they should have a board that comes up. And you pull one, the board comes up, see? But anyway, this kid knew what was going to happen. And he raked these things, and down they went, lettuce all over the place. He didn't just rake them. He just gave them a shove, see? And so the mother gets into one of these detailed conversations with her young one. Now, what do you think of what you just did? It wasn't nice, was it? It wasn't nice. Are you going to help Mommy pick those up now so this nice man can get by? And I was nice. I was sitting there gritting my teeth. I was perfect again. Sometimes people think being perfect is not saying anything. I was less than perfect, I'll tell you that. Be honest about it. But yet, humor saved me. I mean, that's what saves me, just to get a little laugh out of it. Oh, I'm going to gain something out of this. Praise God, I didn't gain a tomato in the face when this kid was mean, let me tell you. And anyway, she went on to instruct this kid with intellect. She got her intellect in there. Now, are you going to help Mommy pick this up? No, I'm not going to help you pick those up. I don't want to. Now, there were a lot of people there, and most of the older people there that turned around, they knew what to do with that little one. They knew what to do. I could tell. We were all together. If the mother would have spanked that child right there, the whole grocery store would have started clapping. Yay! Huh? I didn't say beat it to death. I said, so you pick up them lettuces now. And I mean now. And so that's love, isn't it? Chastening and correcting and so on like that. But the cold intellect doesn't mean a thing. I could be a preacher that just had cold intellect and be perfect and look so nice and so good and so pure and so clean and not be any good at all. I'm not saying I'm a filthy tart or anything like that. Somewhere in between maybe, but... But do you understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking about it has to be done in love. And there's a lot of people out there in the world that have more love than a lot of us Christians. More understanding, more tolerance. And so they understand these truths, that is, they come to the knowledge of it. Like, you know, you ever watch some singers? They're dumb singers. They get up and they sing, but they're dumb singers. Or they play the guitar and they're dumb. There's no feeling in it. And they can pull it off and they can look like it's all right. And all the notes are right there and they can peek out and they can do everything. But they're not having fun doing it. And another singer can get up. They've got a real raspy voice. And he can barely sing. And he screeches real high on certain, but it's on pitch, but it's screeched and the voice isn't real good, but there's feeling in it. Who was that? Satchmo? Now, he wasn't a singer, but when he sang, it sounded good. put everything into it. He was always wiping his face. He did. He put everything into it. And it had no voice. But yet he had a voice. Because he wasn't a dumb singer. He knew about music somewhere inside. It was an inward thing and it was trying to come out. And so that feeling was there. Or you can get singers that get up and they're dumb singers. And they do everything perfect and they hit that high C. It's sort of like opera. You want to get rid of a whole lot of people, me included? Start singing opera with no feelings. And yet, I can go to one of those things, and if they got feeling in it, and they aren't just trained, and they have just intellect in it, it's beautiful. And it's the same way with preaching the Word of God. And so then I believe this, they become sort of orthodox in a professed creed we're talking about. See, but without love, their faith is dead, a dead chant. Da 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 da. And somebody over here says, da 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 da. Morse code or something. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what, there's no love in it. It's learned. No, your heart must be affected by it. And you must obey it in your life or you don't truly know it. That's like food. You can come to it. You can look at it. You can even smell it. That's like they do sometimes. I see people, before they take a bite, they smell it each time. You might have a knowledge of it, but until you actually eat it, are you hearing this? You can't say, oh, I just love it. It's my favorite. No, you haven't tried it yet. See, you got to try it so that you'll know whether you love it or not. And so only those that do the will of God can know of this doctrine, be partakers of it, be practical practicers, are the only ones that know if it's good or not. There's no way I could tell anybody about a mission if I hadn't run a mission. And even now I can tell people mostly, for the most part, things not to do. See, because basically it's pretty simple. Feed my sheep is pretty simple. Feed and my sheep and also clothe the naked. That's pretty simple. But see, we get it all bogged down. I watched on TV the other day. They were arguing whether to give money to the homeless. Now, really, is it important how they got out there on the street? How would you people listening on the radio, how would you like it if we went through every step that you made to get rich? Every attitude you had to get rich. Everything you did to get wealthy. Well, that's the same way with the poor. They don't have to tell exactly how they got down there. The fact is they are there. Right? Isn't that right? Would everyone want to be approached and ask a dozen questions on how did you become this wealthy? We're going to put you on trial here. No. You know how they got wealthy a lot of times? Off of the poor. Whew. Are you hearing this message today? No. Mere knowledge brings no man to peace. See, the truth must drop out of his head and into his heart before he really knows its power. Some even try to keep peace by being outwardly moral. tell others, be like me, like a moral majority. Is there such a thing? Isn't that kind of pious? Isn't that kind of self-lifting to say, we are the moral majority? Who are you? May we check under your mattresses? Huh? Who made you moral? Who said you were moral? Why don't you add, the grace of God has made us moral, and they will keep, and He will keep us moral if we keep our eyes on Him and we don't judge you. Some act as slaves and cry their way through. They live in a spirit of bondage, will not permit them to rebel. Isn't that a sad person that lives in bondage? I know years ago a guy said, this is before I was saved, I was going to a church out that way. And a young guy got saved and he said, and he tried all these things and he was trying to be a Christian and everything. He's trying to be sincere and everything. He says, guess what we're going to do? We're going to the Black Hills of South Dakota. We're going down and we've bought a certain sector there and this man has a place out there and we're going to go in the caves. We're going to cave out. We're going to cave. The end of the world's coming. We're all going to go into this large cave. We're selling everything we have and we're going to get caches of food and we're going to go up there. We're going to be prepared for what's coming. Well, this is all you need, isn't it, is to receive Jesus as your personal Savior? What do you have to go up and hide in some cave for? I says, don't you think when you get up, do you think when you get up there that you won't sin because you're in a cave? Do you think that will keep you from sinning to be in a cave? No. No. I says, you're going to be the same person in that cave, only more like an animal. Because there's no running water in there and you're going to get mean and nasty. And you're going to mark off territories like cavemen. Well, that's where they were going, caves. You're going to mark off areas. This is our area over here. And then you're going to start to get civilized again. Start the whole movement over again. What's it going to gain you? They went out there. And everybody just come back totally miserable. There might be a few hangouts out there. Isn't it just being honest and being open and being interested in the things of God? And is it striving? Is it white knuckles? Is it gritting your teeth? Is it I'm perfect? Is it those things? No, it isn't, folks. It's loving the Word of God that gives you peace. Not perfectly keeping it, you can't do it. He who loves the Word. And so when a new truth comes on, let's talk about a deeper revelation. It opens his eye up further and he starts to obey that further truth. Not to. See, that keeps you humble. There's a further truth. Now there's a guy down here on step one and you're on step 14. Look out. You might go up another step and then go back 14 too. No, see, we progressively are reconciled to God in Christ Jesus. So that means our minds progressively are reconciled. We progress. It says we are sojourners. We learn progressively. We learn. How does a kid learn? Makes mistakes. Gets spankings. Gets corrected. We cry, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I saw this TV special and had this little, what do they call him? Chameleon or some kind of an animal that changes color? What do they call those? Anybody know? Cam or something? Camellia? Camellia? It sounds like, I thought that was a woman's name. Okay, Camellia. They probably should call some of them camellias, but I... Well, they have male and female, so don't get offended. Well, it's really true. It's what you feed on, that's what you become, isn't it? I guess that would fit in. Patch that one up. It's what you're around, that's what you become. It's what you eat, that's what you become. It's what you feed on. It's what you love. those that love thy word, those that feed on the word. So we have to be a little bit choosy about our company sometimes. Don't sit with rebels and scorners and gossips and liars, slanderers. Are you hearing this? The word of the Lord, when fed on, I'm talking about, obeyed, I'm talking about, becomes a molding force of our character. Now, obeyed means worked out. Doesn't mean just lip service. It means faith worked out. You know, because, see, listen, no one really loves to do the will of God. Nobody does. The natural man does not love God. The Bible says he is at enmity with God, the carnal mind. The old nature delights in every earthly thing, it says. So now we have to use the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit to overcome these things. I said Friday night, I think it was Friday, I don't know. I said, you know what a fruit of the Spirit really is? Work. And right away I could hear people on the radio saying, wait a minute, let's get into the gifts. Well, let's get into the gift. Let's really get into it. The flesh doesn't want to work. And faith without works is dead. So, I mean, you're nothing without works. I mean, you're totally dead. So a fruit of the Spirit has to be works because the flesh doesn't want to work. Oh, wait a minute. How about speaking in tongues and how about word of knowledge? And just, I'm not talking about that right now. Let's get down to basics. And it says, that's all a gong if you don't have love. That's the greatest of them all. You're zero, zilch, nothing without love. And so you have to love the Word of God. And I think a fruit of the Spirit is work. Yeah, because that's what gives you your life. This life that I now lead, I live in faith. And so, yes, I understand all of the gifts. I went through all that, and I see a lot of people that have gone through that, and I believe it all, and I think it's great. But they've taken all of their ministry and placed it over here on what are you? Who's the greatest? Who is the greatest? That's the question. Now, now you're going to see this in the end. Who is the greatest prophet? Yeah, but that's the prophet ahead of the prophet ahead of the prophet. No, you know, but you don't understand. That's not the head prophet. That, you know, and on and on and on and on. And where's the end to it? The end to it is when we recognize the fact that we need the fruit of the ministry is in the works of that ministry. Now I'll get cards and letters, numerous ones from sitters. That are just fruit trees that aren't doing anything. Not a single solitary thing, but professing their particular kind of fruit that they have. No, you're not going to have peace with everybody. Now, how many know there's people out there you can't have peace with? They won't have peace. I saw that when I was watching David and Goliath yesterday. Now, suppose David would have walked up there. Now, Goliath got these little hairs on his face and some little zits here, you know what I mean? From eating too much of this Jewish pie. I'm talking about Goliath. Can we talk this over? No, Goliath threw down his shield. Number one, bad move. He threw down. Now he was warding them old rocks off. Fine, bing, bing, and they're all over their lap. And all the other, and the Jewish people are standing over there like this. You know, oh, poor little David. Poor, you should be playing on your harp. Poor little David, play on your harp. Play away, play away, play away, play away. Yeah. And this old king, he was sitting with this Philistine king was sitting up there. And ping, ping, them rocks were coming off there, you know. And then he threw down his armor. Now at that time, David said, I see you laid down your armor. Do you want? No. He had this huge sword and he was going, he didn't even talk intelligently. How could you reason with somebody like that? You are not going to have peace with every man. Some people will not have peace. You know what it says in the Bible? If they don't receive your peace, take your peace back to yourself. Because if you don't take your peace back to yourself, you're going to be the same as you are. No, take it back to yourself. And so while he had his armor down there, David picked up that one stone. And you know what? It had the guidance system of the Holy Ghost on it. It hit him right here in between. There was only a little teeny niche in between this helmet he had on. This little niche hit him right here in the nose, right in here. How many know as you get hit right in there, it hurts? Oh, that hurts. I remember my dad said, "Well, what happened to you?" I said, "Well, what'd you do? Did you lose? You don't do the battle. I mean, you got the black nose and the black eyes." I mean, it hurts to get hit right here. Right on the... That's where it got hit. I could feel it when it hit there. It went... Sploop. And so David walks over and he said... And he it was real decent. He walked over and he closed the eyes of the giant. Closed his eyes. And he got up. It was really good acting. And he got up and he said... Took that great big old sword, big as a weaver's beam, and pulled it out and swung that thing up in the air, and he said, "So be it," and shut his eyes and chopped the giant's head off. What does that tell you? You're not going to have peace with everybody. You'd lose your peace running away from this giant while he's after you. Woo, 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 huh? How many know that Saul didn't have any peace? Oh, he tried. But jealousy got the best of him. He couldn't stand it. He was hugging David. And this woman says over there, just like the devil magnified it. Saul's 1,000, David's 10,000 slain. And all of a sudden, this hug with the eyes closed, his eyes opened up, and it was really good acting. He opened his eyes up and he went. And the arms fell away. And that's when sometimes we come to a parting of the ways because of jealousy. And Saul, right then and there, lost his peace. In fact, when he was standing up there and they were going to, and he had lost his sword at that one time, he stood right there, he was waiting for it to come. He wanted to die. Finally, in the end, he puts the sword up and falls on his own sword. Did he go to heaven? You bet your boots he did. Getting kind of quiet in here. Don't you think love could cover that? I do. He looked up at David, and David was on this hill. There's a young man ranting and raving. He says, "David, it's okay." Right then and there, he forgave. Humbled himself. Whew. No, great peace means great prosperity. And I'm not talking about getting $1 million. But oh, how rich we are when we have that great peace. How rich Saul would have been if he would have received that great peace and said, "Well, he's my man, he's my warrior, and let him go out and fight them battles." Some have peace with the Pope. They'll go all over looking for peace. They'll follow the Pope around. They'll get peace from that. Some have peace through themselves. No, we're responsible to make peace work. Whew. I've had people come to me and say, "You know what? You laugh too much. Your message is practical, but I think sometimes it's too realistic. It's too simple." Is the gospel simple? What a mess if we change mathematics weekly. I was standing in the Red Owl store when this came to me. I like to go in the Red Owl store. I like to go shopping. I don't know what it is. I get ministry while I go in there. Anyway, I was standing there and I thought, what if they changed mathematics every day? What if the gospel message, well, I was thinking about the gospel message. What if they changed that? What if every day they come up with a new twist and they change mathematics weekly? What if they did that? And so someone, I seen this girl standing there and I kind of got lost thinking this. You know how you fog out? Fog out on the cart that runs up the back of your ankles and the kids that knock their lettuces off the counter and all. I fogged out. And I heard this girl saying, manager to check out counter 4. How much is 2 and 2 today? Wouldn't that irritate people? How long do you think they would stand there waiting for the manager? How much are these last week's coupons? I hate coupons. Oh, I hate that. I get up there and the woman only has a few things, you know what I mean? But she's got coupons. How much are these coupons still good? And then what if they had to check each one out? Huh? With a magnifying glass. No, see, we need fixed laws. 2 and 2 is always going to be 4, and Jesus Christ is always going to be Lord, and He's always going to be full of mercy and grace and forgiveness, and that's the way it is. I again watched the bakers in the back of this place. I went by the baking counter. I thought, what kind of bread would we have if they changed the ingredients all the time? And I thought we'd probably end up with 4-pound loaves. No, see, we must stick to the basic ingredients and directions. One part salvation, one part Holy Spirit, one part God's Word, and receive and obey that. And receive it in the ovens of affliction to grow and to be baked together, if you will. To become, it says in the Bible, the bread of life. Well, how did you ever get that out of that? I just happened to get it. I happened to be there, and I went in there shopping, and I just happened to get that. I fogged. Why should we leave the great, peaceful foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation is of the Lord alone? Why should we leave that for something else? Even that baker, he probably was full of sin. But he stuck to the ingredients, and the bread turned out good. None of us in here are perfect, but if we stick to the ingredients, it'll all turn out. See, it's the Word that gives us a peace. It'll all work together for good if you'll keep to the main ingredient. It's not that we're perfect in ourselves. It's that we have a perfect peace in the power of the Word that brings us peace. You're looking for peace today? There's no peace. The blood of Jesus Christ, you blew it. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ covered it. Whew. Have you blown? How many blew it last week? I mean, you just blew it. I mean, oh man, I mean, got mad at somebody and oh, shut up. Hate you. Oh. Veins sticking out. I bet you can lose it. I bet you can lose it with them dogs coming in there, huh, right? Someone that tried to do their own cut or their own trim their own dog's toenails or something, you know. Right? They do that, don't they? You feel like saying, okay, now get on that table. I'm going to cut your toenails. See how you like it. You blew it. Huh? Did you ever blow it on your job? get mad and pull the mop bucket out of there and then tip the whole bucket over and get you. It goes in your shoes, so you got to go squishing away. Squish, squish.
The laundry cart.
Laundry cart. I knew it was something. Yes, the laundry cart. Thank you. Tipped it over?
Tipped it
over. Tipped it over. And who was there? The boss. Who was there?
Different people looked.
They looked. Ooh. Christian knocking it over. Did they say that or did you think that?
No,
they thought it though. Okay. See, we can lose our peace on what we think people are thinking. Most of the time, they're just thinking something like this, Wayne. Oh, there goes that dummy again knocking over the cart. They think that, yeah. But it shouldn't cause us to lose our peace. Even when we lose our peace, we shouldn't lose our peace for weeks after because we lost our peace that one time. Forgive yourself. Say, I lost it, I blew it, and go on. I could fall into that all the time because I lose my peace. So you lose it. Well, who do you go to then? You ask Jesus, Jesus, I lost my peace. Can you help me find it? Well, it's right over here. Come on into the Word of God. What does it say in here? Draw next to me and I'll draw next to you. Now, you want your peace back? See how it works? And you can think on something you didn't do or how you just made it, Bill, you muffed it. It's a bad, bad scene. Oh, man. And you can think on something you didn't do, and then you see the people that were around when you made that error and you blew it, and you can lose your peace again. You can say, oh, there they are. They know all about me. Oh, huh? Don't lose your peace. You don't get peace from those people. You don't get peace from yourself, of course. Where does it come from? It comes from knowing that the perfect Jesus Christ covers you with the blood. Isn't that a peaceful message? That just gives you total, total peace. How about that? And think, okay, tomorrow I'm going to have peace because I'm going to do the Word of God. No, it says you have peace at the Word of God. At it. Not in it even. At it. You walk up and you get at it. You walk right up to the fountain. You walk right up to Jesus and that's where your peace is. At it. Sometimes people think, I'm going to do the Word of God, then I'll get peace. No, you walk up to it, at it. You go, walk, you walk, you're at it, at the peace. At the job. At home. At this place, or at that place. You don't have to thoroughly be into it. It's just at it. Okay, I'm going to lock it up here. Praise God! I was losing my peace! Can you admit you're wrong sometimes? No. I rejoice at thy word. At thy word. As one that findeth great spoil. Doesn't that blow the whole prosperity message? He rejoiced at the word. It's like having victory in battle and then dividing the spoil. Have you ever got into the Word of God and just got your peace all together? Oh, what peace I had when I found out. When I found out salvation was all of the Lord. What a pure treasure chest of delight when I found out that salvation was of the Lord alone and I didn't have to keep straining and stretching and trying at it. When I knew that Jesus did it all. When I knew He suffered for me and that by believing in Him I had peace. Whew. Later on I discovered salvation was all grace and I wanted to tell everybody about it. I wanted to tell everybody about how I was growing. But only growing. You know when I started to really grow? When I knew the Lord was doing it all. And it came a little bit at a time. So a guy asked me the other day. He says, well, can you tell me anything about the truth? Well, I said, the truth about the truth is, as far as I'm concerned, it is only going to be totally pure truth at its source, Jesus Christ. And you're never going to know all the truth until the Holy Spirit leads you to that final day with Jesus. Then you're going to know the whole total truth. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength, and that which you have gained in battle is your joyful spoil. I have gained so much off of that scripture, that beautiful scripture about the peace of God, about loving the Word of God, about getting into the Word of God. Have you heard this message today? It says, nothing shall offend them. Are you afraid of standing alone? So many times we're afraid of standing alone. A lot of times in my ministry, I mean, most preachers, you'll have to admit, a lot of times in your ministries, especially if it's in the deliverance end of it, you're going to stand alone. Well, you might have people around you, but you're going to stand alone. I'll stand alone, because to tell you the truth, I would rather fair weather friends they may scatter. I'll stand alone. Better to stand alone than follow a multitude of evil. So when friends try and persuade you to be unloving, to love God's word and God's work less, to compromise, to leave, friends who feed you more defeat when you're down, friends who say, see, didn't I tell you? Friends who feed you rebellion and hate when you are at a very low point, tell them, I stand alone, because to tell you the truth, I would rather. I'm so tired of your silly prattle, I'll stand alone. Yes? The world is crying, peace, peace, and there is none. There's only peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's my message today. The Word of Life. That's the only way you're going to find it. That's the only place where it's ever going to be, and that's being with Jesus. That's your peace. And oh my, how people are crying out for peace all over the place. Have you lost your peace? Well, then you got to go to the Word. Love thy Word. Love Jesus. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior?
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was the conclusion to episode 239. That was part 2. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast next Friday. The name of the message is Friends. Have a great week. God bless you.